which the Lanzaroni assured us was the Sibyl's cave. We were sufficiently disappointed. Yet we examined it with care, as if its blank, rocky walls could still bear trace of celestial visitant. On one side was a small opening. "Whither does this lead?" we asked. "Can we enter here?" "Questa poi, no?" said the wild-looking savage, who held the torch. "You can advance but a short distance, and nobody visits it." "Nevertheless, I will try it," said my companion. "It may lead to the real cavern. Shall I go alone, or will you accompany me?" I signified my readiness to proceed, but our guides protested against such a measure. With great volubility in their native Neapolitan dialect, with which we were not very familiar, they told us that there were spectres, that the roof would fall in, that it was too narrow to admit us, that there was a deep hole within, filled with water, and we might be drowned. My friend shortened the harangue by taking the man's torch from him, and we proceeded alone. The passage, which at first scarcely admitted us, quickly grew narrower and lower. We were almost bent double, yet still we persisted in making our way through it.